There we go. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Appreciate y'all being here this evening. I want to read this scripture to you. It's a lot of reading, and I'm not going to take the time to read all of it. A lot of times I make references to scriptures within the context of a chapter, and I don't really get to wear that chapter out, so to speak. Tonight will be one of those things. So let me just take your attention over to, again, 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. And I'm going to actually skip through some of this. But there's actually 58 verses that's there in this. So I'm going to start in the verse number 1, and then I'm going to skip over and pick up over in verse 35. So verse number 1 says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand." There are several things that Paul begins to talk about as he begins to write to this church there at Corinth. First of all, Paul establishes the reason and the purpose of his writing. And it says that I declare unto you the gospel. Now again, those of us that know the scripture and those of us that have read the scripture over and over again, Paul says these very words in Romans chapter number 1, where he says, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel." One of the things that I was reading earlier this morning before I got busy throughout the day, and since I got busy, I hadn't stopped, trust me, doing so many other things. But one of the things I picked up on was simply this, that Paul, and this is very important, Paul had an established conviction about the resurrection. There was something in Paul's life and the gospel that he was determined that he would not in any way, under any circumstances, be swayed from the power of the gospel. Now, what I want to talk about this evening is simply this. Now, we just, as Penny said, we just came through Easter. And your salvation and my salvation is based upon the simple fact, not simple fact, but the fact of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And Paul goes through this whole entire chapter, and Paul addresses that, and we'll get to it a little bit in the latter part. But he opens again, he opens this up, and he says that I have declared the gospel unto you, and he said, I preached. Preached is just simply to breathe or to declare unto you. And also have received, and you have received, and wherein you stand. You have received the gospel, I preached the gospel, and now you stand in the gospel. Paul again reminded them in Ephesians. He said, when you've done all to stand, stand. Now, again, I'm not going to have time to do all of this evening, everything that I've read about it. But Paul's conversion was a phenomenal conversion. If you look at Paul's life prior to Acts chapter number 9, Paul was very ingrained in Judaism, and although Paul thought he was doing God a favor, if you will, Paul later began to teach and to talk to the Jews about the very thing that he used to defend. And we can see that when Paul did this, everything did not go good in Paul's life. Now again, I don't have time to talk about every bit of that this evening. But as I was reading earlier this morning and a little bit this afternoon, I find it very interesting when you take the book of Acts and you look in the book of Acts and you begin to look at the defense of Paul the Apostle before those that he stood in front of. There's about four or five different people that he stood there in front of to defend the gospel. So the resurrection gives you and I the power to defend the gospel. Let's read a little bit more. He says in verse number 2, and he says, by which also You are saved if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed without faith, or you believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture. This is very important. And that He was buried and that He rose again. He was buried and He rose again the third day according to the Scripture. And then He was seen of Cephas, which is Peter, then of the 12. And then the Bible says, after that He was seen of above 500 brethren at once. After Jesus' resurrection, His disciples seen Him, and there was, according to Scripture, there was as many as 500 people saw Him after the resurrection. Now, I'll go into some of that in a little bit. And He says here, at 500 brethren, again, at once, and of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some of them are fallen asleep. Then Paul goes into verse number 7, after that He was seen of James, then of all the apostles. And I like verse number 8. Verse number 8, Paul says, and last of all, He was seen of me. Also of one who born out of due time. Paul begins to talk about how that in verse number 10, he says, that verse number 9, he says, I'm the least of the apostles and I persecuted the church. Verse 10, he comes back and he says that by the grace of God, I am what I am. And that would apply to everybody in this room tonight. That by the grace of God, I am what I am. I am what I am this evening only because of the grace of God. And He says, and His grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which is within me. Now let's go down a little bit further. He says in verse number 12, now, if Christ be preached that He rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? If there be no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. Now I know that we can go back through the Scripture, and actually I've got some of those places actually written down that I'll visit here in just a few moments. But we can see, according to the Scripture, that when they came there, and they came there to Jesus, and they came to the place where Jesus was, where they were on the cross, and how that they examined Jesus' life, and how that it is a fact that Jesus died for you, and Jesus died for me. Jesus died for the transgressions of the world. But there was an examination of Jesus that day when they came back to the cross. And this is what the Bible actually says when we look into the book of John, chapter number 19, looking at verse 28. He said, after this, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the Scripture might be fulfilled, Jesus from the cross says, I thirst. Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar and put it on hyssop and put it to His mouth. And Jesus, therefore, had received the vinegar. He said, it is finished. And He bowed His head and He gave up the ghost. If there be no resurrection of the dead, then the Bible says, if Christ be not risen from the dead, verse 14 of our text, if Christ be not risen, then our preaching is in vain. Our preaching vain. In other words, it's empty. It's useless. But He says, and your faith is vain also. Now stay with me for a while. When the writer was writing this, the Bible says in verse number 30 there, Jesus cried that it is finished. And then he says, and he bowed his head and he gave up the ghost. At that time, the scripture verifies the simple fact that Jesus did of a certainty die on the cross. Then the Jews, therefore, because it was the preparation day that the body should not remain on the cross on the Sabbath, in other words, it was Friday, and that they were not going to leave him on the cross till Saturday. And then the Bible says, for that Sabbath day was a high day, it was the Passover, besought Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away. Why did they break their legs? Anybody and everybody probably knows that's been around the church for any time at all. When they were on the cross, oftentimes they did not put them on the cross with straight legs. They put them with their legs bent somewhat. And they would put the plate at the bottom where their legs would be. And then they would have to push themselves up to gasp or to get air. And then they would fall back down. Well, of course, we all know this from study. They went by to break the legs of those that was on the cross so that they would hurry up the death process and they'd go ahead and die. Sounds like a pretty cruel way to die to me. But they're there, and they would take, according to commentary, they would take a club or they would take something of that nature, and then they would break the legs of those that would be up on the cross. And it says in verse number 33, watch this. This is very important. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was dead already, they break not his legs. Now we know from Scripture, and this mentions this again in the various other Gospels, that not a bone of his body shall be broken. That was a prophetic. Again, he reminds us in the same scripture text that I'm reading to you. He said, but one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forth came out blood and water. And he that saw it bare record, and his record was true, and he knoweth that he saith what he saith is true, and you might believe. Now, verse 36 is again a verification of the scripture that's found in Exodus 12 and 46, as well as Psalm 34 and 20 is the scripture that verifies this. And it says these things were done that the scripture should be fulfilled. A bone of him shall not be broken. And again, another scripture saith, they shall look on him whom they have pierced. So prophecy was fulfilled several times in the life of Jesus when Jesus was there on the cross. Now go back to Paul for a minute. When you look at Paul in verse number 14 of 1 Corinthians 15, and if Christ be not risen, then our preaching is in vain, and your faith is also vain. Verse 15, and we found false witnesses of God. Remember last week we talked about that. Because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. In other words, for if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised, verse 17, and if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, and you are yet in your sins. Again, this goes back to the gospel where they brought false witnesses. And then different ones that was there when they took Jesus to the cross. They came back to the cross, and you can actually read this throughout the scripture. We're going to basically look into the book of Luke for just a few minutes. You can see that the angels, even though Jesus was dead on the cross, Joseph of Arimathea, you know the scripture as well as I do, and Nicodemus. Who was Nicodemus? Nicodemus was the same one in John 3 that Jesus told him, verily, verily, I say unto you, you must be born again. Nicodemus asked him the question, how can I, who am old, be born again? Am I again to enter into my mother's womb? And then Jesus came back and he said that is spirit as spirit, and that is flesh is flesh. So he gave him a revelation of what it meant to be born again by the Spirit. And that's one of the things that sometimes I feel like, and this is another subject for another time, but I feel like this is a very difficult thing for the world to understand, because the Bible said that men love darkness rather than light. And you tell somebody they've got to be born again by the Spirit, and they look at you like they're looking at a ghost, if you will. They don't get it. They don't understand it. But that's what Jesus actually told Nicodemus. And Nicodemus was there with Joseph of Arimathea when they took Jesus and they put him in Joseph's tomb. And all of this is the gospel. All of it's there. But the interesting thing that I find, again, on the power of the resurrection, or the necessity of the resurrection, where Paul was actually telling them in simple forms, and going back and not trying to reread all that right now, he just boils down and he says this: if Christ be not risen from the dead, then we are still dead in our trespasses and our sins. In other words, let me use this word loosely, your religion is in vain. In other words, if Jesus be not risen from the dead, I've done nothing but wasted 30-something years of my life. But I got good news to bring, and that is why I sing, amen. Because I know. See, here's the thing. Here's the thing. I was reading this morning, and I'm going to get into this in just a second. Because there was witnesses that knew that Jesus had died. When you begin to look at the Scripture, we can see this. When you look into Luke chapter number 24, we read this over again, and we just read it a few days ago. So when you look at this, first of all, we can see that heaven is the witness of the resurrection. Amen. That heaven is the witness of the resurrection. The angel was there that day in Luke 24. You can actually read this, and you can sort of look down through it on Luke 24 and 1. Now, upon the first day of the week, very early morning, there came to the sepulchre bringing spices, and they had prepared, and certain others with them. Verse number 2 says, and they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre, and they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. Again, fear, no doubt, gripped their heart. Fear gripped their mind. Fear gripped their life. Oh, my goodness, they've already come. They stole him away. He's not here. What in the world happened while we were sleeping? What happened in the middle of the night? What's going on? And then this is very important, because this is what happened right here. And it said there again, and it came to pass as they were much perplexed about, behold, they were very perplexed about what had happened. But I love it when heaven comes down to earth. I love it when heaven has an explanation. So God sends these angels there to the tomb, to the disciples and those at the tomb, so that they would know without shadow of a doubt that the very thing that Jesus had told them that he would do, he did it. Heaven came on the scene, and heaven brought confirmation to those that was there. And it says here in the Word of God in the verse number four, and it said, it came to pass, and as they were much perplexed about, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, and I've said this over and over, they said unto them, and I love this scripture, why seek ye the living among the dead? And they wasn't in a dead church right there. Let me just add that in there. And it says, why seek ye the living among the dead? And the Bible says, he is not here. Do you know that that statement right there, rest. Everything that you, and I wish y'all would get excited and help me preach. That statement right there, everything right there rests. Our Christianity rests upon that statement. He is not here, but he is risen as he said. If Christ be not risen from the dead, then your faith is in vain. In other words, everything we do in church, everything you've ever done has been nothing more than some type of religious exercise, if you will. But thank God today there are those that heaven sent down as a witness before the people that day. And the words upon their lips just simply shouted throughout the corridor of where they were at that day, for he is not here, he is risen as he said. I don't know how that makes you feel in your spirit this evening, but it makes me feel pretty good to know that I don't have to worry about it. That heaven, my friend, is real. Heaven's jubilee, as we sang, heaven is just as real tonight as anything. Oh, you say, well, I've never seen heaven. I've not seen heaven either. John saw a glimpse of heaven. He saw heaven coming down. He gives witness to the pearly gates and the streets of gold, transparent gold, if you will. My friend, you've got loved ones in heaven right now. They've experienced heaven right now. I'm so glad to know that when you're born again, that my friend, you're on your way to a glorious land, and it's all because of what Jesus did when he came forth out of the tomb, victorious over death, hell, and the grave. We have a victory this evening. He's risen. He has risen. The resurrection ought to be the most exciting thing of Christianity. We talk about Jesus' birth. I love the Christmas story. I love little baby Jesus away in the manger in Silent Night and shepherds on the hillside. But honey, I'm going to tell you something. You get me fired up when you get to thinking about what I'm talking to you about tonight. Oh, I love sweet baby Jesus came through the virgin womb of Mary. I love it all, and it's all necessary to preach. But friend of mine, there's nothing that gets me any more excited to know without shadow of a doubt that the tomb is empty. Hallelujah. And he done exactly what he said he would do. So we see this in the scripture. Heaven declared the resurrection. We see this again. Let me read a little more of this. I might get to shouting if I read a little more. And he said here again in the scriptures, we look at this in verse number 7. And he says in the word, he's saying the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, the third day rise again. And they remembered his words and returned to the sepulcher and told these things unto the 11 and to the rest. And then Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James, and the other women that were there, which told these things to all unto the apostles. And it seemed like that these words, the Bible says they're 11, and their words seemed to be, and their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. The tragedy of the resurrection right there. To tell the story of the resurrection, and that's really not my message, but there again, we see Peter rose and ran to the sepulchre, stooping down, and beheld the linen cloths where they laid by themselves, and departed wondering in himself at that which was come to pass. Now that's very interesting. I'm not going to really get into the road of Emmaus, but Jesus did show up there. He was there with them. But I begin to think about other people that Jesus showed up with. I remember reading again in the scripture of how that he was there with his disciples and they had an encounter. And actually he began to show himself back over in the book of John. I love reading this. Because Jesus was there and he was actually already... Let me find my place here a second. I'll tell you. And it said here again, and Jesus was actually telling them what to do when he actually, before he actually went into the tomb, Jesus told them to go and he would show back up. And he did the very thing that he said he would do. You can read this in several different places throughout the book of John, again in John 20. Actually, there's 18 verses or so that we could actually read, or more. If you read all of John 20, there's 31 verses. Not only was there the angels that was there and the disciples that was there, and it's interesting to me that how that Jesus showed himself open and alive to so many different ones after he rose again. Part of those places, and again I say part of those places, are here within the context of John chapter number 20. Again, John 20 kind of picks up there where Luke 24 was. But we look here in the scripture in verse 11 and following, and it's the same place where the angels was there that I just read to you out of the book of Luke. But John goes a little further, because we see here in verse number 13, it says, "And they saw her, 'Woman, weepest thou?'" with a question mark. "She saith to them, 'Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him.'" And then the Bible says in 14, "And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus." Excuse me. She turned herself back, and what did she see? "But I thought he was dead. I thought he was in the tomb." But she turned herself back. So when you look at this, we can see that where Jesus is referring to Mary, and he says, "Woman," she too became a witness of the resurrection. "And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus yet." Verse 15, "Jesus saith unto her, 'Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou?' She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, 'Sir, if thou have bore him hence, tell me where.'" In other words, listen here, doc. If you've taken him and stole him away and put him somewhere, you better tell me now what you did with him. Okay, that's layman's terms. That's Steve Jones' terms. And he says, "You better tell me right now what you've done with him." And then we see this, and "I will take him away." Verse 16, "Jesus saith unto her, 'Mary.'" Larry, this is part of what we talked about yesterday. And Jesus had to see him. Larry Grove and me talked about this just yesterday, me not knowing I was going to get into this evening. Jesus wanted to see her not just as the man Jesus, but as the resurrected Jesus. That's what I could tell Larry yesterday. That's all I can think of. But he didn't just want her to see him as the one that walked along the side of them. But Jesus really did want her to see him as the resurrected Lord. And let me just put a little nugget in right there. I think that's what he wants you and I to see him as this evening. We can talk about Jesus. You can go into the marketplace and you can talk about Jesus. Some people will have a chit-chat with you, but you start talking about the resurrected Savior, and it changes the dynamics of the conversation. Amen. But we see here again where that Jesus said, "Woman, why weepest thou?" Supposing him to be the gardener, and said unto him, "Sir, if thou have bore him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away." Again, verse 16, and Jesus saith unto her, "Mary." Mary. I believe, and again, this is little greenology right here. Okay, little greenology. This is my take on it. I don't know this. Again, I don't know. I'm just telling you, I don't know. But I believe there was something in the tone of his voice. How many of you know my sheep know my voice? Amen. There was a tone in his voice that spoke to her spirit. When Jesus looked at her and said, "Mary," I'll tell you a little funny story. And he may be watching. How many of you know where Sunrise Grill is? I was down there about 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, something like that. I was down there with my buddy Charlie Wood, and we was down there chit-chatting for breakfast one day, and I was talking with Charlie, and all of a sudden I laughed about something. Well, across from me, I'd already seen Bill and Sister Bloodworth come in to the restaurant, Myrtle. I'd already seen them come in, and they were sitting pretty ways far from. We just ate and went on. And I was going to go speak to him on the way out the door. But I laughed. And the minute I laughed, Bill went this. I mean, in a split second, he started doing this. He recognized my laugh. He knew it was me. And somehow in my spirit tonight, I believe when Jesus looked at Mary, I believe something exploded into her. And she says, "Rabboni," which is master. I believe there was something about the resurrection that resonated within her. And this is me again. And somehow in my spirit, "He did it! He did it! He did it! He did it! He said he would! And I believed him, and now look, here he is." Now, I know that's a little exuberant for a Pentecostal preacher, but I can't help but believe that. Amen. Now, if you go into Acts chapter number 1, so Mary was a witness of the resurrection. There's many people that witnessed. But Acts chapter number 1, we can see this as you begin to look where that Luke again was writing. And I may go back to John a little bit later. But when you look in Acts chapter chapter number 1, we can see where that Luke again was a physician. He was a doctor. He was writing about all this. He was writing to Theophilus. And it was the account of the apostles, the account of Jesus and the Acts of the apostles. But when he opens this up, there was some reading in here. When you begin to see this in verse number 2, he says, until the day he was taken up. After that, he was through the Holy Ghost had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen. Remember, Jesus told them to go to Jerusalem and wait and tarry until you be endued with power from on high. At one time, he breathed on them and he said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. And it is here recorded that they were in the proximity of the upper room at this time. So he's writing this back. Luke is writing this. And it says here again about Jesus. And it says, commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen. Look in verse 3. Now watch this. We're looking at the power of the resurrection or the necessity of the resurrection. The witness of the resurrection. We had the disciples. We had Mary. We had the angels. We had 500. And then I like this one. He says, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs. If you look at the end of the book of John, and this is a paraphrase of what it says. It says in a paraphrase, if everything would have been recorded that Jesus did, that even the world itself could not contain the books that could be written. Amen. That was a paraphrase on the latter part of the book of John. His story, well, matter of fact, history, if you look at history, his story, look at the word history, his story is still going on today. After the passion by many infallible proofs, infallible, undeniable, unargumentative, you can't argue with facts. And I'm headed to something here in a little bit, but let me just say this kind of in the direction of where I'm going. I can stand and tell Sandra Ivy Neely all day long about Jesus. She can shake her head. She can shake her head. Yeah. But until she's experienced it for herself, it's nothing more than just a story. But if you've ever experienced the risen Jesus for yourself, there is nobody can change your mind. I think about Paul. And I'll keep it right there for a minute. I think about Paul when Paul had his experience on the road to Damascus. It was an infallible proof. Now, I know that was not during this particular time, but still, Jesus revealed himself to Saul of Tarsus in such a way that it actually transitioned his life totally in a different direction. He was on his way with papers up to Jerusalem to have the Christians killed. Now, I do not know. And I don't know if it's in commentary anywhere. I have no clue. I only know what I've heard and what's been said. That Paul himself did not murder anybody. Brother West, you may know that. I don't know that. But he had a whole lot of people killed. We have one in particular. His name was Stephen. Now, I don't know that Paul had a lot to do with that, but he was there And he consented also unto Stephen's death. Could you imagine? He did. That's what the Bible says in Acts 7. You can read it. He consented unto Stephen's death. But yet something happened when he saw the death of Stephen, because Stephen stood there as a witness that he had an encounter with Jesus. I'd rather have somebody with an encounter with Jesus than somebody that don't. Stephen was there, and he looked up into the heavens, and he saw Jesus standing to the right hand of the Father. And then we see that Stephen, the Bible said, that he was a man full of the Holy Ghost and full of truth and full of faith, if you will. That even in his darkest moment of time, because Stephen had experienced the power of the resurrected Jesus, he remained steadfast. He remained sure. He remained settled on the fact that, let me tell you, that's what the resurrection will do to you. Nobody can tell you anything any different. Somebody says, are you willing to die for your faith? I'm going to die anyway. Somebody's worried about dying. I'm going to die anyway. Don't, please. No disrespect. No disrespect. I know I got people in here that's lost loved ones, and I have to be careful how I say things. But I'm going to tell you something, friend. The Bible said to be absent from the body is to be in the presence of the Lord. And there's a whole lot worse things than dying. Dying without Jesus is the worst of all. When you're saved and you've experienced the resurrected Jesus, hey, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. We don't have to worry no more. We don't have to cry no more. We don't have to fret no more. And my friend, we weep and we cry and we do that. And it's in our human nature to do that. But praise be unto God that when we know the resurrected Jesus, and 1 minute out of this world is 1 minute in eternity, amen, and we see Jesus for himself, we have beheld him. And my friend, I'm going to tell you something, friend, there's nothing any more greater than that. To experience who Jesus is, the resurrection allowed us to do that. It said here in the Word of God, it's seen them 40 days, and speaking, the Bible said, of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. That's awesome to me. When we begin to look at this in the Scripture, you know the rest of the book of Acts, chapter number 1. And again, we're not going to get into all of that, but one of the scriptures that I love, and I've always loved this scripture, is found there in verse number 11, because it says these words, where they were there, and Jesus, as Jesus went up into glory, and Jesus was ascending there at that time, and Jesus was going up, the Bible said that at that time that the Holy Ghost came down, they were in the upper room there, and just a little while longer they were there. But the resurrected Jesus made way for the Holy Ghost to come down. Verse 11 says, which also said, you men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come again in like manner as you have seen him go. The resurrection gives you and I the promise of eternity. The resurrection, there was many infallible proofs. And then we see how John himself and Mary and the angels all were proofs of verification of the resurrection. I remember reading here this morning again in the scripture in the book of 1 Corinthians. Excuse me, in the book of Luke, I'm sorry, Luke 24. Then I'll get back into that. I wanted to point this out. I thought it was very interesting, because when you look at this, you look at verse number 50, this is the ascension of Jesus, and it said, and he led them out as far as Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and he blessed them. I don't know, but when I read that today, I thought it to be very interesting that Jesus blessed them. Again, I don't have time to go into it, but we have a high priest today. We have a high priest today. We have one ever at the side of God the Father, making intercession for you and for me. We have a high priest. As Brother Scott so greatly talked about on Sunday, of how that you don't have to come to a man now for the forgiveness of sin. You don't have to go. I'm not your mediator. Somebody say amen right there. You can go to God himself. But yet I look here as Jesus being our high priest, if you will. When you look at this, he said, and he lifted up his eyes and he blessed them. I couldn't help but to think about the song that Hannah sings. You may not like the song because maybe you've never got the gist of the song. That it comes back from an Old Testament principle. And what Jesus did here with these disciples, he blessed them. If you look at the priestly prayer of Numbers chapter 6, that Carrie Job and those that wrote that song took it right out of the scripture. And this is what the word says. And it was first recorded here in Numbers chapter 6 and 22. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto Aaron and unto his sons, saying, on this wise, you shall bless the children of Israel. How many of you know you're, as a born-again child of God, under the anthem of the resurrection, you are blessed and not cursed. Amen. You've been made the head and not the tail. God will bless your comings and your goings. I'm no longer walking under the condemnation of this earth, of the condemnation even of my past. The Bible says those that are in Christ Jesus in Romans chapter number 8 says there therefore now no condemnation. Why? Watch this. Because I'm blessed. Jesus blessed them. Does that mean your circumstances is perfect in life? No. But I can be blessed even though my circumstances tell me something different because I'm already blessed. I'm not waiting to get blessed. I'm already blessed. The resurrection verified that and sealed that on my life, on your life. But anyway, Jesus blessed them and he said, again, the priestly prayer. He is our high priest. The Lord speaking to Moses, speaking to Aaron and unto his son, saying on this wise, you shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them. Now, if I really wanted to get to be a Pentecostal preacher tonight, and if I really wanted to get you involved tonight, I would get you to look at your neighbor, and I'd get you to grin at them real big, and I'd get you to say, you're looking at one blessed man. We forget what the resurrection's done for us. We forget that we're not like the world. I'm not of this world. I don't worry about the glamorous things of this world. I don't worry about any of that. And you think I'm kidding, but I'm really not kidding. You know, we sing the song, take this whole world, but give me Jesus. As long as God's happy with me, that's it. Because I know that he's going to supply my needs. He knows what I have need of before I even ask. Some days it's just amazing how God just orchestrates and lines everything up. I just get out of the bed of the morning, Sandra, and start my day, and God just sort of, he fixes it. Amen. Again, in the Word, I'm going to go ahead and say it. I wasn't going to say it, but I'm going to say it. And I know I overexert myself sometimes, and I know that I need to make some adjustments. I realize that, and Kay Leonard's listening to me too. But God has blessed me to be a blessing. And whatever I do, whether it's helping somebody and whatever, however that works, it's okay. I don't mind helping folks. I've done it all my life. It's just who I am. Brother Jesse, I was 12-year-old and pushing a lawnmower for little old widow ladies. You was plowing a mule. That's paying me $4 an hour. Excuse me, $4. $4 to mow their yard. They supplied the lawnmower, the gas, and the peanut butter sandwich and the orange crush. They provided. I wasn't going to get that at my house, I promise you that. I went and mowed and got $4 plus a sandwich and an orange drink. That's a pretty good deal. I found out at an early age, you be good to people, and people will be good to you. It's not a put-on with me. It's not something that I have to fake or come up with to be good to people. Come on, somebody. I believe in the golden rule. You say, well, that's not in the Bible. It is in the Bible that you treat people the way you want people to treat you. I need to preach on that sometime because some people need a checkup from the neck up on how they treat other people. Amen. Now, that's not in this message. I'm just giving you that for extra points tonight. Amen. And I'll go ahead and say it. I'm going to say it the way I feel it. If somebody can't be nice to me and be good to me, I just assume not have nothing to do with them. Amen. You say, you sound like you're from the mountains of Western North Carolina. Hello. That's how they all are up there. I'm just telling you my heart. I'm just telling you. If you can't be good to somebody, certainly don't be mean to them. Be good to people. Amen. Somebody says you don't, what does it say, kick a gift horse in the mouth or something like that? Be good to people. Now, why did you get into all that tonight? I have no idea. Just be good to somebody. God was good to you. God said we're blessed. We are blessed. Let me read this. And Jesse, I remember my papa having a mule. Actually, it was, looks like it's a half mule and a half horse. It's a white-eared something or another. He said, the Lord bless thee, the Lord keep thee, and the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Oh, my goodness gracious. The Bible says in John 14, 27, Jesus said, my peace. He's called the Prince of Peace. The resurrection is our peace. Jesus said, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives, my peace give I unto you. I got to quit. We got to roll tables. Look at this. And he says, the Lord lift up his countenance upon you, and the Lord give you peace. And he says, and they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. So the resurrection brought us great blessings, as we see here in the Word of God. And it said, and it came to pass while he blessed them, that he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Amen. On and on and on and on and on. You can go read the four Gospels. Now, I was intrigued today. I'm not going to go there because that's another hour message. But I was intrigued today, and I don't know why. It's probably been a long time since I've read it. I don't know. I've just not ended up there. But go back and read. I think it's from Acts 21, 22, all the way up into Acts, well, actually to the end of Acts, Acts 28. Somebody said, we're Acts 29, right? Did you get that? We need to be Acts 29 today in the hour that we're living in. We're the Spirit-filled people. But go back and read that about Paul's defense of the gospel. I was reading this, and it kind of, Kathy, you can put it up there. It's kind of interesting that this is there, and then I'm gonna have to be done. If you go back into Acts 23 and verse number 3, I think it is, and she can look at that, and it might not be the right verse. But Paul is interesting. Look in verse 2. It's interesting because when I read that, Paul was just, it's crazy. Paul was given testimony of Jesus' resurrection. And look what they did. The high priest Ananias commanded them that he stood by him to smite him on the mouth. In other words, he just said, slap him in the mouth because of what he just said. Paul was just talking about the resurrection. Then they took Paul. Paul was put in prison. Paul was bound. Paul was beaten. Paul was abused and all kinds of things. Paul went through horrible, horrible, horrible events. But guess what, Sister Betty? Because he met Jesus, the resurrected Lord, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. That's in Acts 9. Paul found out on that day when he had an encounter with the resurrected Lord, no matter what I've got to go through, it'll be worth it all. I have seen the King. I have met the Master. I know Him. I know who He is. And that is where you and I are at today in the world that we're living in. Now I got to shut this or I'll keep going. My goodness gracious. That's where we're at today. Because we've seen Him. We know. We know Him. It's not just a story that I learned in Sunday school. But I thank God for Sunday school stories that we learn. But I've met Him. Over 30 some years ago at a little altar at the Klein Church of God, Brother West, I met Him. I know who He is. The song says He walks with me and He talks with me. How many of you know Him tonight? I wouldn't trade Him for anything in this world, because He came forth out of the grave. Read the rest of 1 Corinthians 15 when you got time. Victorious. Victorious over death, hell, and the grave. We serve a risen Savior. There's your Wednesday night Easter service. Stand with me. Hallelujah. Why don't we just take a minute and praise Him in the house? Father, we thank You for Jesus. We thank You for the encounter that we've had with Jesus, the resurrected Lord. Thank You, Father God, this evening for the simple fact, but the most difficult fact, that Jesus died on the cross for our sins and our transgressions. And God, if we thanked Him from now into all eternity, we could never thank Him enough. We could never praise Him enough. We could never honor Him enough for everything that He's done. And Lord, we love You, we honor You, and we praise You, and we thank You for all, God, that You've done. Now, Lord, I pray that Your blessings would continue to be upon this, Your people, and this, Your church. And may we all keep our eyes glued to the eastern skies, that one of these great getting up mornings, Jesus is going to say, "Come up hither." And we're going to go and rise to meet the Lord in the air. The dead in Christ shall rise first, and then we which are alive and remain shall be called up to meet the Lord in the air. So whether by the grave or whether by the rapture, we have a promise in the resurrected Lord. And Father, we thank You for it. In His precious name we pray. Amen and amen. God bless you. I hope that you enjoyed this evening. If you can stay and help us, I need 11 tables out of the fellowship hall. And I'll meet you back there, and then I'll roll one with you, and we'll get them out of here. If you can't stay, if you're unable, God bless you, and I appreciate it.